Between last week and this week, we've gotten to hear two of the famous stories about the resurrected Jesus showing up for people. On the one hand, that seems like something we would totally expect in this Easter season, and we would be right to think so. But on the other, there's a bit of a pattern developing that I think requires us treating the two stories together. So let's backtrack for a brief moment for those who weren't here last week. The previous gospel was the story of so-called Doubting Thomas, the poor guy who wasn't there when the rest of the disciples saw Jesus and had the Holy Spirit breathed into them. And I think we all know how it goes from there. I won't believe unless I can see the scars and touch him myself. And what does Jesus do? Comes back and gives Thomas exactly what he had asked for, resulting in one of the strongest confessions of faith in the Gospels. My Lord and my God, Thomas calls him. And then today we get to eavesdrop on a conversation along the road to Emmaus. It begins with two characters. There's long been speculation that although they clearly were not the core disciples, they could have been part of the 70 whom Jesus had commissioned earlier in Luke's gospel, especially since they had heard the report from the women who went to the tomb. One of them was called Cleopas, and the other, well, we don't know, actually. Origen, in the 3rd century, thought that the other guy was Peter. Cyril of Alexander, 5th century, thought it was a different guy named Simon, not Simon Peter. Others suggest it was Luke himself trying to stay anonymous. In the last century, scholars have started to speculate that maybe it was the wife of Cleopas, since women so often don't get named in these stories. But the identity doesn't matter a whole lot for the narrative. In fact, I personally think Luke's genius is leaving this person unnamed because it lets us locate ourselves in the story. It's like Luke is inviting us in. And this is only strengthened by the fact that we have no clue where Emmaus was anymore. We're not even sure they knew where it was then. All we're told is it was 60 stadia, or about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And that was important to Luke's narrative. Now, he is clearly not a geographer, but as he makes clear elsewhere, especially in Acts, the plan was for the gospel to spread from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. So here we are, just outside Jerusalem, as if what we are witnessing are the very early days as the message is just starting to get out. When we're dropped into the conversation, we hear that they've spent their journey talking about what happened, about how their hopes had been dashed, recounting how the Messiah seems to have utterly failed in redeeming Israel. But then a stranger shows up. Or at least they assume he's a stranger because he hasn't heard that story yet. And by stranger, the text says foreigner, an outsider sojourning among them. Now, the irony here is we, the reader, know that that is both true and untrue at the same time, because Jesus actually was from there, at least in the Lucan sense that Jerusalem was the center of the world. But he clearly didn't live there anymore. And so his identity, which is clear to us, remains hidden for the travelers. As one writer put it, and I love this, the incognito Jesus joined them on their road of broken dreams. And it would have been easy for Jesus to simply snap his fingers and reveal himself, I'm sure. I mean, after all, he's going to do that for Thomas in just a few days. But that wasn't what these two needed. They needed someone who would honor their questions, who would respect their disappointment, who would validate their pain. And so that is what they got. Yes, there is a mild rebuke, much like the one the angel at the tomb gave the women, or that Jesus will give Thomas. They probably should have known better. Even when we hear their words, we're like, how did you not figure this out? But we cannot forget that doubt is part of the human condition. It affects all of us. And so Jesus walks with them as he starts to teach them what had happened. And then when they reach Emmaus, the two travelers did what would have been customary at the time. They offered him a place to stay. They showed hospitality to the stranger, and in so doing, quite literally welcomed the Lord. There is a sermon there another day. We'll come back to it. For this story, the important part is that it gives Jesus the chance to turn from guest to host. As he takes the bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it to them. And it was in that very moment that they recognized the man they had been lamenting the whole way. So what I get from putting these two stories together is a clear picture that Jesus does not just show up for those with perfect faith. He doesn't turn away from those of us who have doubts. For Thomas, he offered a loving touch. For Cleopas and the other, they had their eyes opened by word and by sacrament. May it be so for us.